Look at all these young people here. This is amazing. Those of you here might be here for the first time. You know, you may not understand how this conference came about. Actually, we were talking about this last night. You know, this young people's conference actually started in Fort Stockton in the 80s. And back then, there was just a small group of young people, mainly from Austin, who drove up to meet with the church in Fort Stockton and that small group of brothers and sisters there. And we didn't meet in a meeting hall. We met in the saint's backyard. Yeah. And we started a little time, just like an outing, to get together, mainly so that we could sanctify our young people from all the activities that were going on, you know, on this weekend, right? And from that, year after year, it just grew a little bit more, it grew a little bit more, it grew a little bit more, until now, I think last year we had 30 or more, and then this year we're at about the same number, right? Now we're filling up this meeting hall with all these young people. Amen. So you might come and be like, what are we doing? We're going to Odessa to go to a conference. What is this? What is there good in Odessa? Well, this young people's conference has a rich, rich heritage. A rich heritage. Many brothers, even from other localities, from other states, have come to share at this conference, have come to be in this conference. And it is a very, very particular conference. You can start me. It's a very, very particular conference. So the way I want to start tonight, is this. It is no mistake that you are at this conference. Amen. Okay? It is no mistake that you, for whatever reason, maybe your parents made you come, maybe you've been looking forward to this conference since the last Odessa conference ended. Whatever spectrum you're on, okay? It is no mistake. It is no mistake that you are at this conference. I don't know. Even as I was just considering and praying and opening to the Lord, I just had this sense that this conference is going to be a very, very special conference. Actually, I feel what we're going to fellowship about this weekend is actually deep, deep, deep on the Lord's heart. Deep on the Lord's heart. And you all have come from different situations. Some of you have really been looking forward to this, and maybe your heart is just so open to the Lord right now. And like I said, some of you, maybe your parents made you to come to this conference, and maybe you're not that open right now. You're just like, okay. Or maybe you've already been cracked open by all the awesome singing and the read praying and the prayer reading. Maybe it's starting to crack you open a little bit. But you know what we all need before we even start anything? We just need to open to the Lord, even privately, as I'm speaking, and just say, Lord, cleanse me. Amen. Wash me from the good and the bad. I want to open to you, Lord. I want to hear your speaking. So, what you receive this weekend is going to be directly dependent upon your cooperation. I really believe the Lord has a lot to share. He has a lot to flow out. But he needs your cooperation to get past your mind, emotion, and will and really touch the depths of your being, okay? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so open or look at your outlines. And what is the content of this year's West Texas Young People's Conference? The priesthood. So maybe some of you already have a thought in your mind of what this conference is going to be about. The priest, and maybe some of you are like, what is the priesthood? Maybe you think, what this is priesthood? We're coming over here to learn how to be priests? And maybe you have a certain concept in your mind. I hope you would just let all that go. I hope you'd have a blank slate. And just listen to what the Lord's speaking this weekend concerning the priesthood. Actually, what the Lord wants out of this weekend is a priesthood.
Amen.
Among all you young people, he wants a priesthood. Okay, so how about we get right into it. Let's open to message number one. And message number one is on this vision of the priesthood. So listen, this message is a kind of an overarching message. It's kind of an introduction to this matter of the priesthood. I hope this message may be one of the messages that, you know, we kind of stay bird's eye view. But I hope message after message, so many examples and stories and fellowship that's so practical to you young people just comes out, right? The first thing we need to see concerning the priesthood is just a definition of the priesthood. Because I know in your head, when you think priesthood, you already have a certain thought in your mind, a certain definition that's going through your head. But I hope this first Roman numeral right away blows you away, okay? So let's read the definition of a priest. How about we all read A together? Go.
A priest is one who sees God, who is filled, saturated,
a priest is one who receives God. Amen. Receives God. Amen. If you want to be a priest to God, you need to be one who receives God. Have we all received the Lord?
Yes.
Maybe there's even some in here who have not received the Lord. Very first step, receive God.
Amen.
Very easy. Lord Jesus, I need you.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, come into me.
Amen.
Lord, I want to receive you. Lord, I believe you.
Amen.
We receive God. But not just one who receives God, but who is filled with God,
Amen.
Saturated and permeated with God, and who has God flowing out of him so that he might be a living expression of God.
Amen.
So first thing I want to point out is, it doesn't say here a priest is one who does stuff for God.
That's right.
Actually, a priest is one who allows God to fill him, to saturate him, to permeate him. So what do we need to do this weekend, brothers and sisters? We need to receive him. How about we just circle, receive God.
Amen.
Filled
Amen.
With God. Saturated with God. Permeated with God. And how about we speak each one of those words? Receives, filled, saturated, permeated. Again.
Receives, filled, saturated, permeated.
So if you go back at the end of this weekend and they say, hey, what'd you do this weekend? And he said, I went to a conference. Oh, what was that conference about? The priesthood. Really? The priesthood? What's that about? You better be able to say these words. Receives, filled, saturated, permeated with God. If you could just say that, I think you blow your friends' minds. What? Okay. Let's read some verses here. Exodus 19:5, we already kind of got into, but I want to read again, okay? Everyone read it with a bold spirit. Go.
Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my personal treasure from among all peoples.
Okay, listen. We've been following this journey. If this is your first time here, you've missed the previous conferences. If you've been here for the last 4 or 5 years, you realize we're taking this little journey. And this journey started, really it started all the way in Genesis, but we really picked up where God's people are leaving Egypt. They're leaving Satan's tyranny and slavery in Egypt, which signifies the world, and God wants them to be released from that, to be separated as a people unto him. And he tells Pharaoh what? Let my people go. And of course, Pharaoh doesn't let his people go. So we saw in these pictures, God allows these 10 plagues to come upon the land. And really, this is a picture of Satan's tyranny in the world. Actually, all that's behind the mask of the world. So that God's people would leave it. Okay? God's people would flee the world. So that was the first conference. The second conference, we see God's people and his journey, their journey in the wilderness. So God's people actually journeyed through the wilderness for a good amount of time, 40 years. And they went from place to place and had so many experiences. And these experiences match our experience in our Christian life. Okay? There's a lot of different pictures there. We don't have time to get into them. And then, last year, we got into the good land, right? So we went from Egypt and the 10 plagues, then the wilderness, and then last year, the brothers shared concerning the good land. Praise the Lord for the good land.
Amen.
Eventually, God wants His people to go from Egypt through the wilderness into the good land. Actually, this is a picture that mirrors our Christian experience. He wants us to go from sins, dead in our sins and offenses in the world, and we pass through this spiritual journey having many, many experiences of Christ in the wilderness, which is mainly the soul, until we reach the enjoyment of Christ, all-inclusive Christ in the good land.
Amen.
And actually, brothers and sisters, we make this journey every day. It's a journey from our to our soul into our spirit.
Amen.
We need to fight every day to enjoy Christ as our good land.
Amen.
But my question to you is why? Why? Why did He want His people to go out of Egypt, through the wilderness, into the good land? Why? Why? The answer is this verse right here. What does it say? If you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my personal treasure. Oh, that's a sweet word. Isn't that a sweet word? God, the God of the universe, separated a people, a group of people, brought them all the way to the good land for what? A personal treasure.
Amen.
Oh, sisters, wouldn't your heart melt if a brother just wooed you and said, I want you to be my personal treasure? Oh, you'd be like, oh, that's so romantic. I feel so honored. Okay. Listen. This is God's heart. This is God's heart towards His people. It's a loving affection. It's not, I want you to come and serve me. Yes, there is that aspect. But there's also the side of, I want you to be my people. My personal treasure. Actually, word actually can even be translated, my personal possession.
Amen.
He wants to possess us. He wants us to be His.
Amen.
Do you want to be God's people?
Yes.
No, really. Do you want to be God's
people? Yes.
Okay, we have a lot to share this weekend. And I think as we began to share, we began to realize what it means to be God's people. His personal treasure. Even His peculiar people. Oh, peculiar. Now, that word, we don't like that much. Now, sisters, a brother came up to you and said, I want you to be my peculiar treasure. That doesn't sound that sweet. But actually, to be God's personal treasure, to be His personal possession, is actually to be His peculiar treasure. Oh, not so easy. It's not so easy sometimes to be God's.
Right.
Not in this day and age.
That's right.
If you are God's personal treasure, make sure you know it will be a peculiar treasure. You will be peculiar to this age. You will. And I hope we see that this weekend as well. Listen, young people, He has such a heart. And I feel like this weekend, He wants you to have that sense. He wants you to be His personal treasure.
Amen.
Okay, you might say, me? Me. Personal treasure? God's personal treasure. Yes, God's personal treasure. Listen, in this whole age, think about it. Think about your circle of friends. Okay, think about your city. Think about what you see portrayed nonstop in media.
On your
on your devices, your social media accounts. Think about what you see portrayed. How much of it is God's? How much of it is His personal treasure? Think about it. At your school, who can you point to and say, that's God's personal treasure? That's God's treasure. Among your friends, can you say, and all the words that come out of their mouth, things that they do, can you say, that's God's personal treasure? How much of it? How much of it on your Facebook account, brothers and sisters? How much of it can God say, that's my personal treasure? That's my peculiar people, my peculiar treasure. That's my possession. Okay, now let's get a little personal. How much of you in your heart, I'm asking myself, brothers and sisters, I'm asking myself, how much of us can we say, that's God's, that's His possession. That part of my being is God's treasure. Okay, this is what we're talking about this weekend. God's heart. That's why I say it's no accident that you're here. Think about it. Of all the young people and all the things you could be doing right now, this age, brothers and sisters, has been usurped. This age is an age of darkness. And you may not see it because you are surrounded by it all the time. All the time. But the fact that you're here means that God wants to speak this word to you. The Lord wants to speak this word to you. I want you to be my personal, peculiar treasure. Okay? That's the word the Lord wants to speak to you this weekend. Will you listen to this word? Or will you be distracted by all the things going on? All the things that you think, oh, I'm missing out on this. Oh, my friends are doing this. Oh, I can't believe I'm not doing that. Oh, this. Oh, I remember that. Oh, distracted brother next to me. Oh, okay. Oh, let me sneak my phone out even though I wasn't supposed to bring it. Oh, what's going on Facebook? Oh, what's going on? Okay. Will you be there? Will you be there? Or will you be God's personal treasure? Maybe even just for this weekend, brothers and sisters, maybe you feel like, you know what? What you're saying right now is just beyond me. But how about you just say, okay, Lord, give you a deal, make you a deal. I'll be your personal treasure for this weekend. I'll be set apart. I'm just going to give this whole weekend to you. How about you try it? See what happens. Okay, so in the New Testament, it's very clear. The Lord speaks to us. He wants us to be His chosen race, His royal priesthood, His holy nation, a people acquired for a possession. Here it is again. He wants us to be His chosen race. Be royal. Amen. Do you want to be royalty? Do you want to be royal? Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, we need the royal one. We need the kingly one. He wants us to be His royal priesthood and a holy nation. What does holy mean? Holy. Who's holy? God is holy. Holy is God's nature. This is who He is. He's a holy God. Okay? He wants us to have His nature. Acquired for a possession. Well, Ephesians 3:16 tells us that we need Him to make His home in our hearts through faith. Right? In other words, the way, brothers and sisters, the way we become these people is by allowing the Lord to soak, to saturate, to permeate, to make His home in our heart. This is how we become His peculiar treasure. It's not by something we can do. It's not by what the priests do. Okay, so I want you to get that thought out of your mind when we're talking about the definition of a priest. It's not by what we're going to do for God. It's about what God can work into us. He wants to work, make home in our hearts. That's what makes us such a peculiar treasure to Him. And we're going to see more here in a little bit. Okay, B, read B.
The main function of a priest is not to work for God, but to spend time with the Lord in His Spirit.
Okay, let's have brothers reading John 15.
Go.
Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I am the vine. You are the branch. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing.
Okay, so can we do anything for the Lord?
No.
The word says it right here. Apart from me, we can do
nothing.
Nothing. So again, we're not here to speak about all that we can do for the Lord. Now, we will speak about the outflow of life. We will speak about God flowing out of our being. About God shining forth as luminaries in us, right? But we're not speaking about doing a lot of things. We're speaking about spending time. Okay, I want to say one word here, and that is, brothers and sisters, if we want to be the ones who are His peculiar treasure, His possession, we need to spend time with Him. Time is so practical. Time is so practical. So, you know, when we said, do you want to be the Lord's possession? Do you want to be the Lord's? And we said, yes, amen. Oh, let's talk about practical. Let's talk about the practical. How much time do we spend? Okay, listen, brothers and sisters. We brothers who share, we ask ourselves the same questions. We're not immune from this. The Lord's asked me this question. All this time I've been preparing, how much time? How much time do you spend with me? Okay, you want to talk about practical? We need to be those abiding in Him. Abiding in the Lord. That's all He asks of us. He doesn't say, do a bunch of stuff for me. He says, abide in me, and I in you. Because unless we abide, we can do nothing. We can't bear fruit. Branches that are cut off, in other words, they don't spend any time abiding in the vine, what do? Die. And this, brothers and sisters, is why many times we find ourselves dead. Dead, just not feeling like, I don't feel like going to the meetings. I don't feel like. A lot of it has to do just with how much time we spend with the Lord. Okay, C, go.
God's matter is all His people who serve Him as priests.
Let's have the sisters on the first verse and then the brothers on the next verse. Go. Brothers,
neighbors, a kingdom, priests to the God and Father, to Him be the glory and might forever and ever. Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, we need to see, and these verses are very clear. This takes us all the way from Exodus, all the way to the book of Revelation. From the beginning of God bringing His people out of Egypt, all the way to the consummation. What is His desire? What is His desire? A kingdom of priests. A kingdom of priests. Now listen, as priests, we're not just individual priests. We are a kingdom of priests. You know what this is? This is the priesthood. This is the priesthood. He's not desiring you just as an individual priest. He's desiring a kingdom of priests. This is God's desire. This is His desire. He desires a people, a kingdom of priests. Actually, hopefully we see here soon that all of God's desire and His purpose is fulfilled by gaining this priesthood. Okay, let's go to Roman numeral 2. And Roman numeral 2 mainly speaks about Leviticus, and the picture there in Leviticus, when Jehovah God is there establishing the priesthood, he speaks this word to Moses. Okay, the initiation of the priest. Let's all read together Leviticus 8, those verses in Leviticus 8. Go.
Then Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments and the anointing oil, and the bull of the sin offering, and the two rams brought the bull of the sin offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bull of the sin offering, and he presented the ram of the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram.
Okay. These verses, you might say, well, why are we reading these verses? What, I mean, initiation of the priests, and they're just doing these offerings and their oil and laying hands on the offerings. What does this all signify? And this is the marvelous thing about the Bible, is the Bible is full of types in the Old Testament. And we get the significance, we get the interpretation in the New Testament. So in this picture here, as Moses was ordered or instructed to initiate the priesthood, there was two things involved. One was the anointing oil. Okay, we don't have time to get into all the significance, the rich significance of this anointing oil. But this anointing oil signifies God and all His riches being poured out upon us. Amen. As the Spirit. In this anointing oil is everything we need.
Amen.
This is the all-inclusive dose. This is the all-inclusive dose that supplies and meets every one of our needs. In this dose, you have the humanity of Christ. In this dose, you have the divinity of Christ. In this all-inclusive ointment that is the Spirit today, the rich Spirit that we enjoy today, you have Christ's death and the effectiveness of His death. And you have Christ's resurrection and His resurrection power. We could just share a conference on this. This anointing ointment signifies the Spirit being poured out on man.
Amen.
Okay? But then you have something else. You have the offerings. And in particular, you have these three particular offerings. You have the sin offering. So I want you to circle these things. I want you to circle anointing oil. And I want you to circle sin offering. And I want you to circle, what's the next offering there? The burnt offering. Oh, wait, we're missing one here. Sorry. There's three offerings here. Did we get these? Oh, sorry. In the first verse, the unleavened bread, the basket of unleavened bread. Eventually, this is the meal offering. Okay? This is the meal offering. So, in this picture here, you have, not only do you have the anointing oil, but you have these offerings. And what do you think these offerings signify? If the anointing oil signifies the all-inclusive Christ, the Christ that's been poured out to meet all of our needs, what do you think the offerings signify? What? Us? His death? The world? No, not the world. Yes, Christ! That's the good answer for it. All the truth school answers could be answered with a Christ, right? If you can't remember what the answer is, just say, Christ! Okay, yes. It signifies Christ in a very particular way. Okay, let me ask you this question, young brothers and sisters. Do you feel like priests? Do you feel qualified to be priests? Okay, even if you said yes, I would say, let's think about what you did yesterday. Let's think about what you did last weekend. Oh, wait. Let's think about what you did on the ride to the conference. Okay? As you begin to consider these things, you might have the sense, priest? Not me. Take my name off that list because I'm not qualified. Well, guess what? Does anyone dare want to raise their hand and say they are qualified in this room? Is anyone in here qualified to be a priest? Good. I'm glad I didn't see any hands. Listen, we're not qualified, brothers and sisters. We're not qualified. Actually, apart from Christ, no hope. Dead in our sins and offenses. No hope. So, here you see, not only does He want to pour out all that He is upon us, but He also provides a provision for us. Because none of us are qualified to be priests to God. In ourselves, we all far short of the glory of God, right? So the sin offering here, and I'm not going to say too much because this is going to come out tomorrow in one of the messages. The sin offering here signifies Christ who died for our sin nature. Listen, brothers and sisters, you don't sin because, you're not a sinner because you sin. You were born a sinner. You were born a sinner. You have a sin nature. Sorry, through Adam's fall, we were all born with the same sin nature. By nature, we are sinners. By nature, we are full of the corruption, the poison of sin. How can we be priests? He wants us to be holy, but look at me. Look at my sin nature. I don't even have to try to sin. My mind defaults to sin. My being, my lust, my desire, it just defaults to sin. How can I be a priest? Oh, we need to see this conference. We need to lay our hands on Christ as the sin offering.
Amen.
All day long, as ones who desire to be His personal treasure, His peculiar people, we need to be, Lord Jesus, thank You for dying for my sin.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, thank You for being this offering to me. You dealt with my sin nature. Because He died on the cross, and again, I don't want to say too much, I can get too far, but because He died, because He was the unique offering, He can cover our sin nature. He can make us holy unto God. Okay, the burnt offering there signifies Christ as the absolute one. Are you absolute for God? I think I've already convinced you that we can't do it, right? We're not priest material apart from Christ. So if we don't even have a heart to come to a conference, much less be a priest to God, what hope do we have? What hope do we have? Well, Christ is the absolute one to God. This burnt offering was burnt. All the fat of the offering was burnt. And the savor of that, the smoke, the flavor of that was offered up to God. This burnt offering was so satisfying to God. Listen, Christ is the unique burnt offering. He's the one, brothers and sisters, who is absolute to God. Christ is the one who's absolute. Are you absolute for God? No, we are not absolute for God. We need to lay our hands on Him as the absolute one. This is how we function as priests, not by being some spiritual monk that has everything together and we are pious and right before everyone. This is not what a priest is. A priest is one who realizes his real condition. I'm a sinner and I am not absolute for God. Can we say that together? I'm a sinner and I am not absolute for God. So what do we need?
Christ.
We need Christ as our sin offering, and we need Christ as our burnt offering. And then finally, He's our meal offering. Actually, this one's very sweet. Next conference, we're going to have a whole conference on these offerings, on the five basic offerings. But the priesthood and the offerings go side by side. You can't separate them. The meal offering there is the enjoyment of Christ in all of His fine attributes. Oh, only He is the real priest. Only He has the proper humanity, but mingled with divinity to be the priest to God. Okay? So, what I want to say here for this point is this. Yes, He desires us to be His priesthood. He desires us to be the kingdom of priests. So the priesthood is the goal. What did I just say?
The priesthood is the goal.
The priesthood is the goal. The offerings, we're going to see all weekend long, the offerings are the provision. What does that word mean, provision? That means it's provided. He provided something for us in order to make us the priest to God. The priesthood is the goal, brothers and sisters. But without the offerings, we don't have the way. We don't have the way to be priest to God. Okay, this next point, point three, is excellent. So let's read that together. Go. Okay, let's read it again. Sorry, go.
God's eternal purpose is fulfilled through the priesthood.
Okay, so in this point here, we want to make sure that you understand a picture. And this picture is a profound, profound picture. God's eternal purpose is fulfilled through the priesthood. What is God's eternal purpose? But what is it? Okay, someone jumping ahead here. Bringing man to God and bringing God to man. Well, God's eternal purpose, and some of you probably have a song going through your head right now, is to have a group of people created in His image and with His likeness to be filled with Him as life.
Amen.
To express Him and represent Him. How about we sing it?
God's eternal purpose
is to have a group of people created in His image and with His likeness to be filled with Him as life, to express Him and represent Him. Good. Good. I know there's a next part to it, but we're going to run out of time here. So it's His. That's His purpose. It's fulfilled through the priesthood. Okay, so let's read about this. A says the holy priesthood, bringing man to God. The holy priesthood, bringing man to God. Well, maybe we should read the verses first and then talk about what this is. So this is typified by Aaron in the Old Testament, but eventually we see that this is actually a type of Christ. So let's read about Aaron in the Old Testament. Go. Oh, sorry. Exodus 28, 1. Go.
And bring here yourself, Aaron your brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may serve me as a priest.
Okay, Exodus 28, 29 through 30. Go.
So Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel in the breastplate of judgment on his heart when he goes into the sanctuary, for a memorial before Jehovah. And you shall put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be on Aaron's heart when he goes in before Jehovah. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel on his heart before Jehovah continually.
Okay, so I want you to underline that part, that last sentence, where it says, Aaron shall bear the judgments of the children of Israel on his heart before Jehovah continually. Actually, the priest there, the Aaronic priesthood is what we would call it, is the priesthood that brings man to God. So, because of man's sin, man is separated from God. Man is separated from God. So, in the Old Testament, there was a provision there, and the provision was the offerings. In order to be, to have God's righteousness, His righteousness and His holiness appeased, satisfied, He required the shedding of blood. Listen, some of you are a little distracted by different things. Pay attention. Because of your sin, because of my sin, because of man's sin, blood has to be shed. Do you realize that? You might think that's a small thing. Come on, an offering. Who cares? This is a bull. It's just a... Okay, put yourself in Adam's shoes. Sin before God. Okay? Partook of the wrong tree. Sinned. And they knew, if you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. Not anybody else. You shall surely die. What if that was upon you right now? What if God spoke to you, if you eat of this tree, or if you sin, you shall surely die. And then you eat of that tree. And then you tried to hide from God. And then God is searching for you. What do you think is going through your head? I will surely die. Because that's what God spoke to you. Okay, brothers and sisters, listen. Some of you don't realize the severity of your sin. You don't. You think, I sinned. Lord, forgive me. Okay, listen. If you sin, you shall surely die. And they knew this. So when God came to find them in the garden, eventually, fast forward a little bit, to appease God's righteousness, something had to die. So what did he do? Do you remember? No, before he sent them out of the garden. He killed a lamb. He slaughtered a lamb. And he covered, listen, you don't think this is graphic? It's graphic. He covered them with the animal's skins. Listen, think about this. Had they ever seen anything die? They had never seen anything die. Because of their transgressions, this creature was killed, was slaughtered in front of them. And then God clothed them with that skin. How do you think they felt? How do you think they felt about their sin at that point? Okay, brothers and sisters, for our sin, it has not changed. God's righteousness has not changed. For our sin, for my sin, for your sin, blood must be shed. Did you realize that? Blood must be shed for our sin. Doesn't that make Christ in his death on the cross a little sweeter to you? Okay, because of your sin, because of my sin, because of man's sin, Christ died. Christ died. Did he die because he wanted to die? He died because of our sin. Blood had to be shed. He bore our sins on the tree. That's what he did. He died in our place. This is Christ as the priest of God. I'm kind of jumping forward here. Aaron was just a type. Aaron offered up the offerings. We didn't put the verse there. He offered up the offerings on behalf of the people. Okay, Christ offered up himself on behalf of God's people. He offered himself up willingly. He took the death of the cross. Why? Because he wanted us to be his chosen race, to be his particular, peculiar people. Okay, he's the priest. He's the real priest, the high priest that brings man to God. How can man be brought to God? First, God's righteousness and holiness have to be satisfied. So Christ, as the high priest, brings man to God. Okay, so you might say, okay, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? How does this fulfill God's purpose? I don't understand. Listen, you were not holy. You were here, dead in your sins and offenses, without hope in the world. That's you, dead in your sins and offenses, alienated from the life of God, alienated. You were cut off from God's life. In the garden, you had no more place. There was something there separating you. God's righteousness, holiness, and glory were separating you, condemning you from God's life. So we have a situation, we have no hope, we're in the world, dead in our offenses and sins, and God... Okay? God is still righteous. He's still holy. But he still desires a people.
Amen.
Don't ask me why. Yeah. We have this wonderful God. Right. We're in our sad situation, but he is not to be deterred.
Right.
He's full of feeling. He's saying, I want them to be my personal treasure.
Yeah.
How is that? That's like a lump of dirt. And God's saying, I want them to be my personal treasure. Wait, no, you don't understand. That's just dirt. But he said, treasure. I want them to be my treasure. It's just dirt. Treasure. Okay, that's God. God, he's full of feeling. Full of feeling. Full of compassion and love towards man. So what does he do? What does he do? He becomes a man. He becomes a man. Listen, something had to die. Something had to pay the price. And the blood of bulls and goats just is not eternal. It's not going to satisfy. It appeases God's righteousness for a moment, but it's not going to satisfy the holy and righteous God eternally. Okay? It's a temporary fix. So what has to happen? The eternal one needs to become a man. The eternal God in his glory. Or I should say, stepped out of glory to become a man. And in his human living on the earth, he lived this meal offering life. He lived this fine human life, full of his divine virtues, attributes, lived out in his virtues. And then what did he do? He died on the cross. He did not despise the shame. He willingly took the death of the cross for the glory that was set before him. The glory that was set before him. He paid the price, brothers and sisters. No more bulls and goats. No more temporary fix. He's going to solve this problem once and for all.
Amen.
He's going to terminate sin on the cross.
Amen.
Death is going to be terminated. Satan's going to be terminated.
Amen.
Okay, this is Christ as the priest in the order of Aaron, the Aaronic priesthood, fulfilling this type of bringing man to God. How can man be brought to God? Because of Christ and his redemptive work. This is how man can be brought to God.
Amen.
Okay? And here's man. And then, listen, you might say, well, he brought us to God. When he ascended, do you know what he did when he ascended? You didn't realize it, but you were there. Did you realize you were there? Oh, all you naughty sixth graders and seventh graders. Okay, I'm a middle school teacher. You didn't know that, okay? Some of you didn't. I'm a middle school teacher. And sometimes middle schoolers drive me crazy, okay? You guys don't pay attention for very long. Okay. Yep, nope. He knows it. Okay, listen. He brought you to God. Okay, the Word tells us that when He resurrected, we were resurrected with Him. And not only that, when He ascended to the Father, you know what He did? He gave gifts to the Father. He presented us to the Father. You know what that was? It was us. Yes, you, the naughty ones. Look, Father. All the treasures. Look at all the treasures, Father.
That's right.
He came into humanity to fulfill God's righteous requirement on the cross so that we could be brought to God.
Amen.
He could bear us on His shoulder and His breastplate, just like the priest here, to bring man to God.
Amen.
And you know what He's doing today? He's doing the exact same thing. He's just bringing us to God. Father, look at these ones. He's living always to intercede for us.
Amen.
He's just bearing us before God. Bearing us before God. Okay, this is the high priest. This is the high priest typified with Aaron. And mainly, this is for God's image. This is mainly for the holy priesthood. Holy refers to His nature. God's image, the man created in God's image was according to God's nature. So this is the image. Remember how we said it's fulfilled His purpose, and His purpose is for image and dominion, to express Him and represent Him? The holy priesthood mainly satisfies God's image. Now let's jump over to the royal priesthood. So we're going to have to skip some of those verses because we're going to run out of time here. Actually, let's at least read one of these Hebrew verses because Hebrews is so awesome. Okay, let's read Hebrew where it says Christ is the real Aaron. Let's read Hebrews 2:17. Go.
And hence He should have been made like His brothers in all things, that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people.
Okay, that's this right here. Can you see it? Hence He should have been made like His brothers in all things. He became man in the likeness of the flesh of sin. He became man. Sorry, He was made like His brothers in all things, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God. And what does he do? To make propitiation for the sins of the people. This is our high priest. Okay, let's jump to the royal priesthood. Let's read B together. Go.
Royal priesthood, ministering God to man.
Okay, ministering God to man. There's a mysterious person in the Old Testament. He's quite mysterious. His name is Melchizedek. And this Melchizedek appears on the scene. Yeah, kind of out of nowhere. And he's there, and he ministers to Abraham bread and wine after Abraham had fought this battle. Okay? So let's read that verse there in Genesis, or those verses. Go.
And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was the priest of God, the Most High, and he blessed him.
Okay, so, like, kind of out of nowhere, Melchizedek wasn't named before then, okay? The priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood, wasn't established until well into the journey of the children of Israel into the wilderness, okay? But this happened before that. Before that. This is actually the first priest in the Bible. Did you know that? So we might think, well, Aaron was the first priest. That's when Moses established the priesthood. Actually, Melchizedek was a priest before that. It says here. Okay, actually there was many priests. All of God's people are priests. You could say all the way back to Adam. You could say he was a figure. At least there in the garden, right? Okay, but this one, Melchizedek, was the first priest. And he came and he ministers bread and wine. What do you think that signifies?
Christ.
Yes, good. Christ. Christ. Christ is our enjoyment there. Okay, listen. Not only did Christ come as our priest according to the order of Aaron to deal with our sins, if that was it, God would not have he would not fulfill his eternal purpose. He wants a people in his image and dominion. He wants him to express him and represent him. Let's go ahead and read. Christ is the real Melchizedek. Christ is the real Melchizedek. As the real Melchizedek, sorry. Let's read Hebrews 5, 9 through 10. Go.
And having been perfected, he became for all those who obey the source of eternal salvation.
Amen.
Being addressed by God as the high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek.
So this is speaking of Christ. Okay, this is speaking of Christ. He became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Being addressed by God as the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Okay, so there's another verse I wanted to read, and that is Hebrews. You can write this down. I think I just left it on the off the outline on accident. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all respects like us, yet without sin. Let us therefore come forward with boldness.
Amen.
To the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace for timely help.
Amen.
Okay, so this Melchizedek, you know what he's doing? He's ministering God to man. He's just ministering God to man. Not just once. When you got saved, God came to you. But now, today, he lives not only always to intercede for us, but to save us to the uttermost.
Amen.
He saves us from our sins and our offenses, but inwardly, he saves us to the uttermost. He's a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our weaknesses. Do you have feelings of weakness? Do you realize you're weak? Do you know who we have to minister the bread and wine to you? Christ.
Amen.
And you know what he's doing to us? I mean, you know what he's doing in us? He's just feeding us. He's ministering to us. He's ministering to our entire being. If you allow him, brothers and sisters, he is just there ministering to you. Listen. I know some of you feel like, nah, you know what? He can't meet my need, you know? And you know what? Sometimes I feel like that too. We all have our situations. John Mark and I were in the car. We weren't lamenting, but we were talking about our situations, right? And sometimes in our situations, brothers and sisters, you feel like, man, nothing can help me right now. I feel so down. I feel so out. Nothing can help me right now. Do you know who can help you right now? Our heavenly Melchizedek.
Amen.
And sometimes he just appears out of nowhere. You think, I can't get through this. I'm struggling with this situation. Maybe some situation happened at school. Maybe some situation happened at home. You just feel out. You just feel depressed. You feel he can be touched with the feelings of our weaknesses. And he's there to minister. He's not there just to make us feel good. That's not what he's doing. He's there to minister himself to our being. Brothers and sisters, you know what we all need? Christ to be ministered to us. So let's read John 5, 6, the verses there, 51 and 55. Go. Amen. Amen. So what is that flesh? What was that bread and wine? It was Christ. Christ in his, it says here, the true food and the true drink. Brothers and sisters, Christ is our true food and our true drink. What we really need is more of Christ.
Amen.
And then John 10:10 says, I have come that they may have life and may have it abundantly. This is what we need. Brothers and sisters, this is our provision so that we could be the priest to God.
Amen.
We need him. We need him. We need him to be our high priest so that we can become the priest.
Amen.
And then finally, the priesthood is for God's building and is God's spiritual house. So as we're enjoying him, as we're eating and drinking of him, guess what he's doing? Not only are we his peculiar people, his treasure, but we're becoming his spiritual house. Actually, we're becoming the dwelling place of God in spirit. Let's read these verses here. 1 Peter 2:5, because this speaks directly of us as the priesthood. Go.
You yourself also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
So listen, brothers and sisters, there's a lot to say here, but this is happening in each one of us individually. But what we don't realize, and it's not easy to draw that, but what's going on actually as his priesthood is we are being built up into his spiritual house. Okay? There's so much we could say here. I'm even thinking we need to have a whole conference on God's building just so we could see what God is doing in this universe. But as the priest, as the priesthood, as we enjoy him, as we enjoy him as our true food and our true drink, as we enjoy him in all the offerings, spontaneously we are being made priests to God and we are being built up into a spiritual house to God. This is a grand picture. I hope you saw at least a little bit of this vision of the priesthood. And this is what we're going to be talking about all weekend long.